Today on the Dark Side of an impotent man, age 45, may never be able to use his penis again after his partner accidentally deployed expanding foam inside his urethra. A woman dies after being shoved in front of a New York City subway. A suspect is in custody, and a Florida man allegedly influenced by ISIS sentenced to life in prison for killing teen at a sleepover. Those stories and more today.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is the Dark Side of.
That indeed it is. Welcome to the program. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. If you like the show, you want to support us, check out our Patreon page. Just search Dark Side of over on Patreon or go to darksidepod.com. It's Tony and Sean with you on today's episode. Oh, the program. What's going on in your world?
I was listening to an interview yesterday of a former NFL running back who. The topic of conversation was fornicating before a game. And the round robin question was, have you ever?
Uh-huh.
A specific gentleman said, absolutely. Made me play better.
Okay.
Now, the funny story regarding this professional football player, his initials are E-D. E-D. So fast forward to current day life.
Yeah.
He was joking where his friends referenced that, and quite the opposite. No, ED. He said, stop calling me that. So it's quite apropos that one of our stories today involves no longer use of a penis referencing ED.
I saw that headline, and I'm like, and there's like a picture of like the spray foam bottle. You know what I'm talking about, right? Like the foam in the can that you put like along the edges of houses to like help with insulation and things like that, or really any place you need foam insulation. It's that spray stuff in a can.
Correct. From the makers of OxyFresh.
Yeah.
It's OxyClean.
It's that sort of stuff.
And Billy Mays.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
And there's all different brands of it. And, you know, I've used it a gazillion times on sightings and homes, and it really works well. Why on earth somebody thought, hey, let's push that into my penis, or let someone do that. One can only hope the magical phrase that that sits in that story is drugs were involved. Because,
well, isn't it similar to caulk?
No, I mean it's super sticky, and when it's fresh, it's like you get it on your hands. It's horrible to get off. I mean, does it? Caulk is much more. It's like an elastic, or rubber. This is foam, so it expands. And there's various versions of it that expand to different widths, if you will. So if you have like a really big hole and you need like 2 or 3 inches of foam, you can shoot this around there and then it'll expand and fill your hole. If you just need a really small, narrow one, there's one you can use for that too. And at the end, when it dries, it's styrofoam, essentially. You can break it off that way, but it stays put in different weather conditions.
I can only expect that the people that we're going to learn more about heard three words. Fill your hole.
Yeah.
And they did.
Yeah. I can't wait to get into this one and see exactly what they thought of. Speaking of football, though, and a football player, I thought you were going to go to this story, which I also scanned the other day. An NFL player allegedly attacked a Florida deputy after exposing himself near a children's learning center. Cleveland Browns defensive tackle Malik McDowell was arrested earlier this week in Florida for allegedly attacking a deputy after being spotted naked near a children's learning center. According to WPLG-TV, Action News, on Monday, January 17th, surveillance video revealed 25-year-old McDowell naked, exposing his sex organs on the Learning Center's property while the school was in session. As a deputy from the Broward County Sheriff's Office approached McDowell on the curb, McDowell reportedly went after the deputy with a closed fist. A report from the deputy obtained by WPLG says the defendant intentionally rammed his body into me and began swinging closed fist punches at me. The punches were swung with extreme aggression, with at least one strike hitting me in the right eye temple area. According to WPLG, McDell continuously hit the deputy before running away and being tased. On Tuesday, while in court, the prosecutor reportedly said that the deputy suffered bruising, swelling on his face, and had trouble walking since the alleged suit. WPLG reports that McDowell's attorneys claim that somebody may have given him something that altered his behavior. McDowell was ordered not to return to the Children's Learning Center. You think? According to WJW-TV, the Browns said in a statement, "We are aware of the very concerning incident, an arrest involving Malik McDowell. We're in the process of gathering more information. We understand the severity of this matter, and our thoughts are for the well-being of all involved. We'll have no further comment at this time." According to records, McDowell was arrested and charged with aggravated battery, resisting an officer with violence, public exposure. He was issued a $25,000 bond on the aggravated battery charge and $1,000 each on the violence and public exposure charges. So there you go. You kind of got it all going on. You become an NFL player, which is not an easy thing to do. And at the age of 25, something happened that you decided, let's go pull out my junk over at the kids' learning center and attack a police officer. To me, it kind of sounds like a bath salt thing. What are your thoughts?
A bath salt thing?
Yeah, the bath salts a couple years ago, not maybe like more than that. Bath salts were the thing where people were like, I don't know if they were smoking them or sniffing them or whatever the fuck they were doing. But it turned people into like zombie-like things. That's where the guy was eating the guy on a like Miami freeway. And they caught him and he was like literally eating a guy. Wow. And it made people do just the like what the fuck type shit. So I don't know. I mean, this is not, you know, this doesn't sound alcohol related. This doesn't sound marijuana related. I don't know what exactly. I don't do drugs beyond that. So I don't know what on earth you'd have to be on to think this is the best way to go.
Well, for one, I would like to ask again, where did you get this information from? What source?
Well, the story came from True Crime Daily, and then it was citing WPLG-TV and WJW-TV.
I'm sorry, what TV action news team?
WPLG-TV Action News.
Thank you.
Yes.
So apparently he was arrested back in 2017 on a DUI charge. He was also arrested 4 months later on a disorderly conduct charge in Atlanta connection with a nightclub incident. So I would imagine, as both of us are not turning this into a sports show, mm-hmm. but when your job is to take part in, oh, I don't know, an average NFL game, 50 to 75 plays where the main execution of what you are paid to do is using your head to hit another human freight train.
Yeah.
Clearly we're speaking tongue in cheek here, but I mean, there's something in one's skull,
yeah.
whether sometimes we use it or not, that is continuously moving around like a hamster in a ball.
Yeah.
Things are going to happen. So clearly, this is very unfortunate. This is terrifying if I'm a parent of one of the children at this learning center where there is a gentleman doing that, combined with when the sheriff is just doing their job, all of a sudden you're going to come at me.
So, yeah.
What? There's, in seriousness, let's hope that this this gentleman gets some help that he needs. But that is definitely, if I'm a substitute teacher at that learning center that day, holy fuck.
Yeah.
You're never going to believe what happened today.
If you're at the learning center, let's say you're either the substitute teacher or you're just like dad picking up one of the kids and you see, and you're a big fan of the team and this guy.
Malik, can you cover your penis and sign it to my son?
That's what I was going to say.
Just already saw your penis.
Would you be like
to JJ?
Like, but like before you arrest him and take him away, would you be like, could you just sign this real quick for me?
Hey, can you do my voicemail, please? Can you buy a voicemail greeting?
Can we do a selfie real quick while you're on the ground with it being tased? So that's I don't know how you come back from that one. Is this forgivable? Is this, you know, where he goes back and continues to play? I mean, fuck, I guess the guy, what's his name, who did all the dog shit, he went back and played.
Michael Vick.
Yeah, he went back and played for years, didn't he?
Yeah.
We all were like, oh, it's okay.
Well, essentially what it's going to come down to is how talented you are, and that talent can then turn money for an organization. So should this gentleman be talented enough at his job, he'll get another job. If he's that much less talented, he's that much more of a liability, mm-hmm. and his career will be done.
Is he? Is he good? I don't follow any of this.
Quite honestly, in sports, if you're not the star quarterback or a high profile position, you can be very good at your job. It's just you don't really hear a lot about linebackers or offensive linemen or supporting cast, if you will. So,
sure,
this gentleman does not come off as a household name.
Yeah,
could be good, but
yeah,
I don't know. I just hope that whatever he's going through, hopefully we'll get it taken care of, and future kids' sakes, to not have an NFL player come on by and show them their, you know, penis.
Yeah, it'd be one of those weird ones when if he has kids and they're 25 and he's like,
let me tell you a story before you were born.
When I was 25, when I was your age, I was, it might be kind of a weird, you know, that wouldn't really be a learning moment. It would be more like a, what the fuck did you do, dad moment? So, yeah. Well, let's go over to this one. An impotent man, 45, may never be able to use his penis again after his partner accidentally... Okay, I fucking don't understand this part, but maybe it'll do it in the story. Accidentally deployed expanding foam inside his urethra in bizarre attempt to keep him erect during sex. Number one, I don't know how the fuck that's an accident. How do you accidentally do that? It would take, I think, a little bit of work, quite honestly, to get that foam tube into the urethra. And number two, why the fuck are you fucking around with spray foam by someone's dick? You know? But I guess we'll learn more as we dive into this. An American man may never be able to use his penis again after his partner accidentally sprayed expanding foam up his urethra in a sex act gone wrong. The 45-year-old patient had to have a new opening cut between his scrotum and his anus to urinate when the foam hardened and became anchored in his penis. I'm just like cringing as I read this. Medics who treated him revealed he will only qualify for reconstructive surgery if he passes a psychiatric evaluation, you think?
Oh.
The unidentified man was struggling with impotence and had been inserting various objects into the opening of his penis during sex to stay erect. But things went horribly wrong during one of these sessions when the man's partner tried to use the straw of a can of insulation spray to keep him firm. At some point, the man's unidentified partner accidentally hit the button on top of the can, deploying the foam inside his penis. Here's the thing. The straw comes off the can pretty easily. Like, it falls off the can most of the time. So who the fuck thought, well, let's insert it here with the can still attached. And you're not going to have sex with a can still attached. Both of these people.
You know, there are local handymen listening to this thinking the one time the straw stays connected to the can. Of all the times to do this quick fix,
The
goddamn straw always falls off the can. I got to go back to the hardware store. I got to get a new can. But the one time that it actually stays connected, it's inside a man's wee-wee.
The foam normally used for home insulation hardened and was left with several masses inside his member and bladder. Oh my God. There's, holy shit. There's a picture here of the insulation that they got out of the guy. And there's a lot of insulation. It's not, so this was almost like, I don't know how accidental this was. Like if it was just a quick little squeeze, you just have like a little clump of it. This looks like they emptied the fucking can. Oh my God.
I'm not sure the brand, but there's new Quick Stop Straw technology. It helps stop messy foam drips.
Urologist who detailed the incident in urology case report said the man waited three weeks to seek medical. How do you not pee for 3 weeks?
Well, here's the thing. If you are fighting to have your tent pole keep the tent up for years, so much, in fact, that your partner has the empathy to get creative and put a straw to hold up that tent. And if it has finally worked, you then are like, hey, do I need to go to the restroom? Maybe. But do I want a hard wiener more than relieving myself? Yes.
He only went for treatment after finding it increasingly sore and difficult to urinate. By the time he arrived at the hospital, he was passing blood. Once he raised the alarm with medics, scans found various masses of the hardened foam, with some measuring up to nearly 4 inches. Urologists told the Mail Online that sounding, where men insert various, where men insert various objects into the opening of their urethra. God, this is like fucking watching the Surgery Channel. It's just, I just cringe. Was becoming an increasingly common home remedy among impotent men, despite carrying serious health risks. Medical staff managed to extract the foam from inside the man's bladder during surgery, but the masses located in his penis proved more problematic. Using specialized tools, doctors tried to grab the foam and pull it out through the opening of the man's penis, but it proved impossible. It became apparent that the man suffered from a urethral stricture disease, a condition where the urethra, the tube carrying urine to the penis, becomes scarred, causing it to narrow. The scarred tissue effectively anchored the foam in place, making the attempts to manually extract it through the penis impossible. Medics were forced to perform some sort of surgery where the new opening is made between the scrotum and the anus to remove the remaining fragments. The procedure diverts urine streams away from the penis with the new hole behind the scrotum used to expel urine. Following the surgery, 3 tubes were inserted to help him pass urine and remove fluid from the procedure. No issues were identified after the operation, and the man is expected to undergo further surgery to repair his urethra, but only after a psychiatric evaluation. So let's say he fails the psychiatric evaluation. Do they just say tough luck? Like, does he have to pass it? Like, you failed. We're sorry. Goodbye.
Oh, my. What do you do? He's not going to die. It's not as though that it's involuntary or accidental manslaughter if he doesn't pass a psych test. This is just a very unfortunate occurrence that hopefully he does, and then he is allowed to right that wrong. But boy, how bad do you feel? I don't know. You ever in a position where you feel empathy for someone. You want to help someone that is in a predicament that you feel as though they can't get out of without your help. So you try. Mm-hmm. And this partner, I would imagine, feels terrible. This guy now has to urinate out of his...
I don't know. I mean, do they feel terrible? Because number one, they thought this was a good idea at a point in time. So are they capable of feeling terrible? I mean, you're like, you kind of go through the mindset of like, oh, they must like think normally outside of doing this.
You can be dumb and still have empathy.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, you're right. You can. The urologist said that this case also highlighted the need for healthcare workers to always treat patients with understanding and compassion, no matter the extreme nature of cases like this one. Wrong attitude, the tone of voice, or simple inquisitory sight may break the trust of our patients in us and generate shame, guilt, and anger, he said. There's no space for gossiping, judgmental attitudes, or for any form of personal comment, he said. I think you should feel shame, guilt, and anger if you did this. That's what kind of shame, guilt, and anger, those are some of the things that prevent you from doing utterly stupid shit.
The next morning in the staff kitchen, obviously HIPAA and all patient medical regulations, it'd be pretty tough when you're eating a snack out of the vending machine. No, oh, hey, doc, what'd you do yesterday? Triple, quadruple bypass on a Marine War veteran. Oh, yeah, doc, what'd you do? Mm-hmm. A couple new hips, you know, like riding a bike, back of my hand, could do it in my sleep. Yeah, doc, what about you? Well, I actually made a new pee hole in a gentleman between his balls and his butthole. What? Yeah, his fiance put some, foam insulation in his wiener because he couldn't get a boner for a decade. Here's his social security number, his first, middle, last name, his address. Yeah. Let's go over there and get one of those, those singing telegrams where people do for their birthdays or anniversaries. Let's get him, to wish him well on his new number one, because he's pretty much going number one and number two out of the same opening.
Don't tell him he made a bad choice or that it was.
Yeah, we could take an Uber together. I don't want to drive my car. Let's go.
Just say that the cards didn't work out in his favor that day. Don't imply that maybe this was a bad idea. Because that could hurt his self-esteem.
It wasn't him, though. It was his partner. So
he wasn't fucking Shane Down.
Out of their pocket, pulls open the can of always, I don't know. I don't know what you do there.
Again, I would think it would take a little bit of work to kind of get that worked in there. I don't even know how the fuck you do that. But that's... I think it's more of a group effort than it was a single person thing. One may have suggested it, but I think it took a village of them to go and say, yeah, let's try this.
Well, I think it's a combination. If you have a family member or a friend that's on hard times and they would say, if I only had $1 million, and then it takes that friend or that cousin to go to the bank and steal $1 million and then to bring it to them. And then the person would be like, what the fuck are you doing?
You wanted a million.
Well, you said you mean... Well, right now, 17 police officers, squad cars are outside of my house, and I now have to go to jail. Thank you, Alan. I appreciate that.
Sometimes people take things a little too literal, and maybe this was one of them.
So next time you think about wrapping your friend's boss up after you steal them from their home on Christmas Eve... And you bring them over because said boss gave them a, subscription to the Jelly of the Month Club.
Yeah.
And they had already put a deposit down for their swimming pool. Mm-hmm. Don't. Yeah. Eddie.
Yeah. That would seem like the type. Oh, my God. I'm just. Yeah. This is a disturbing one. And honestly, what I'm surprised does not happen more often, or maybe it does. And we just don't hear about it. In New York, this is from True Crime Daily, a 40-year-old woman was killed when a man allegedly shoved her in front of an oncoming train at the city's busiest subway station. New York Police Department Commissioner Ketchin Swell spoke alongside newly inducted Mayor Eric Adams on January 15th inside the Times Square 42nd Street station and shared preliminary details about the absolutely senseless act of violence that occurred earlier that day. Sewell said officers patrolling the mezzanine area of the station were alerted at approximately 9:30 a.m. that a woman was suddenly pushed in front of the southbound Q train. EMS officials who responded to the scene found the victim, later identified as Michelle Alyssa Goh, with severe trauma to her body. She was pronounced dead at the scene. Sewell said the attack was unprovoked and she does not believe the victim and the suspect had any interaction. The suspect reportedly fled the scene but later turned himself in. According to NBC New York, police identified the suspect as a 61-year-old Simon Marshall. He reportedly had been arrested in the past and was allegedly out on parole. He has been charged with murder. Goh's family told KRON-TV in a statement that reads, "We hope Michelle will be remembered for how she lived and not just how she died. She's a beautiful, brilliant, kind, and intelligent woman who loved family and friends, loved to travel the world and help others. Her life was taken too soon. An essential act of violence, and we pray that she gets justice she deserves." According to KRON, Goh grew up in California's Bay Area near Berkeley. She attended UCLA for college and NYU Stern School for Business for graduate school. She worked at a consulting firm where she focused on mergers and acquisitions. There we go. So, wow. That's something I am surprised that doesn't happen more, where people don't fall into this. It is like the New York City subway system. Have you ever been down there?
I have.
It is. Yes. It's just, it's an open platform, and then you wait for the train, and then you can, you know, you get onto the train at one of the various stops where the doors open. But until then, it's not like at a theme park where, you know, your train or your cart comes up and everything's fenced off except for the very specific area where those doors open. The whole fucking thing's open. It just seems like a giant, you know, liability of someone falling off or getting pushed off. And I'm really kind of surprised at this day and age that it operates that way, and that there's not something more like what we see at a Disney World where, okay, the train pulls up, then the gates actually do open so you can go directly onto that train. It's not just this little cliff that you can fall off to onto the electric track, the third rail that will kill you if you hit that, or get hit by the train, or just some crazy fucker pushing somebody off the ledge.
I mean, true, but you factor in all of that additional maintenance that could go wrong. If the door all of a sudden is broke, so the train's going down the track and it's mm-hmm. supposed to open, but it doesn't open, so then the subway goes off track and multiple people die.
No, I'm talking like on the platform, just like the gate opens and you can walk onto the door. It doesn't touch the train.
Right, but some type of covering from the platform to the track.
Yeah.
If that, for whatever reason, would malfunction, and not open mm-hmm. or lift or what have you, then that creates yet another. And you have to imagine how many platforms across a subway system there are,
yeah.
all in theory working in harmony. Whereas when you have something a bit more controlled at an Epcot,
yeah.
there is a whole maintenance team dedicated to that.
I'm gonna guess the reason it hasn't been done is because the trains never stop at the identical spot every single time. It's kind of like it slows down, it stops somewhere on this general area.
Whereas on a ride,
yeah.
it is down to a science where it literally is in a programmed repeat.
Yeah.
Where this actually has a conductor, somebody driving. It's terrible. And not to minimize this person dying, but sadly, in the realm of public transportation, I think there's only so many safety precautions you can put in place, and then humans are going to be humans.
Sure. I guess it is. It just still is surprising at this day and age with the amount of safety precautions we put in place for every fucking thing, sometimes way overkill, that one, it, maybe my idea is not the one that would work, but that there's nothing else that's in place, you know, for something like that at this day and age. It just seems like, well, yeah, they started it out that way in the 19, you know, turn of the century, but it really hasn't changed in terms of the danger of that happening. It's still exactly as it was. So I don't know. It's just kind of one of those weird safety things. I'm surprised has never been updated in some way, shape, or form.
Interestingly enough, when they do that and put the new safety parameters in, when will you ever lose the look of people from France thinking you are an expert on New York? Because while I was waiting on that platform,
yeah.
a couple of French folks looked at me and said, "You look like you know where you are." So when they put that safety protocol in, please remove the bumper stickers on people who look as though they know where to go, but they don't.
that's the
true endangerment here, Tony, if we really want to get down to it. Falling on the tracks, dying, okay. But incorrectly labeled as a tour guide, that's where we draw the line.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it is 2022.
I have an interesting French tourist story myself, actually. Doesn't involve the subway. It involves being at Disney's Animal Kingdom one day. And in Florida, you know, it rains all the fucking time. So it was one of these moments where it's just downpouring. There's lightning. You can't walk. So everybody goes into gift shops and whatever building is nearby. So I'm in there in this building with Harper. We are just kind of, everybody's just kind of standing, you know, finding a spot to stand and wait. So we find a little spot kind of off in the corner where some sweatshirts are. And we're just, you know, there's like a little thing that we could kind of sit on. And it's directly in front of some sweatshirts. Some French, and I'm not trying to be anti-French people because I'm not whatsoever. But this is just an experience. These people happen to be French, and they happen to be some of the rudest people I've ever met in my entire life. We're just sitting there. And, you know, if someone would like you to move, I don't care what language it is you're speaking. You can, you know, kind of gesture like, hey, I'd like to, you know, look at this, you know, something just to kind of, and I'd be happy to move. But we're sitting there. And before I know it, I have like this, like four or five sweatshirts all at once being pulled directly over my back and my head and Harper's too. And just kind of, it's almost like you could have like slid them out that way or this way, or just asked me or just kind of gestured, you'd like to look at this and I would happily move. They just like ripped them off the rack and then just pulled them directly over us. As we're sitting there, they were getting hit by the sweaters. And I said, I'm like, and I just looked like, what the hell? And they're like, we won sweater. Okay. Polite. Ask me to move. I didn't even notice because they just did it so quick. They just like walked right over and just boom. And it was just like, what the fuck? And I don't know. I don't know much about the culture, but I've heard stereotypes before that there's more of a rude type thing going on. Is that true? I don't know. Or is this just a couple that was just fucking assholes?
Now, everybody knows the person that will do anything and everything to avoid contact.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Conflict. Yes.
Yeah.
To the extent of making something even more of a shit show, opposed to just addressing the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you combine that plus being from France, mm-hmm. and you then have the situation. Because I think they perhaps were just dicks, combined with they don't speak English or understand how to politely do that, combined with they just wanted those sweatshirts.
I was just baffled by the way it was handled. Because I was
they
like,
absolutely should have taken 0.4 seconds and said, excuse me, we sweater.
Just a basic, just like a hand gesture. I'm like, oh, sure, I'm sorry. Because it wasn't even like I was like sitting there like blocking it because I didn't even see them coming. It was just like suddenly, boom, there's an arm and this is being reached and pulled over our heads. I don't know. It was very bizarre. And I was just like, and there was a language barrier, so I couldn't like really say anything else. Or maybe, I don't know. I mean, I think at that point, if you do that to someone, you're going to pretend you don't understand the language as well to avoid that conflict. But
so really, they could have been from Cleveland.
They could have. You know, I think that's not a bad out. If you do something really rude inadvertently and you're like, oh, shit.
No English.
That was a really asshole move. Like, I guess that's what you could go to. Here's another one. A 21-year-old man was sentenced to life in prison for killing a 13-year-old boy at a sleepover in 2018. According to WPTV TV, Corey Johnson was convicted of first-degree murder in November for the stabbing death of Giovanni Sierra. Johnson and Sierra were both at the same sleepover at Kyle Bancroft's home in Palm Beach Gardens when the attack occurred. The Palm Beach Post reports Johnson became upset with Sierra at the sleepover because Sierra made comments about Johnson's newfound Muslim faith that Johnson found offensive. Sierra was reportedly friends with Kyle Bancroft's younger brother, Dane, and the two were classmates at Watson B. Duncan Middle School. Johnson and Kyle Bancroft have been friends since daycare. Johnson reportedly stabbed Sierra in the throat when everyone went to bed. He reportedly died on his 13th birthday. Dane and Kyle Bancroft's mother, Elaine Simon, went to check on what happened, and Johnson stabbed her and then Diane, who tried rescuing his mother. According to the Palm Beach Post, WPTV reports Johnson stabbed Simon 32 times and Diane 12. They both survived. Palm Beach Post reports Johnson sent photos of the attack to a woman he was communicating with online. Johnson's attorneys reportedly said, during the trial, that he was an empty vessel looking to belong and turned to extremist videos posted by ISIS that caused him to become psychotic and delusional. He was also reportedly on medication for depression. Neuropsychologist Dr. Michael Scott testified that Johnson was high-functioning autistic because he had delayed maturity but above-average intelligence along with mental illness. Students at a middle school in Jupiter, Florida reportedly told officials Johnson was stalking them on social media. Johnson made online threats, the Palm Beach Post reports, and became known to the FBI. He's believed to have sent a threat to a Catholic school in England in 2016 that caused almost 100 parents to take their children out of school. According to the Palm Beach Post, Johnson denounced ISIS during his sentencing hearing. He said, "I know I contributed to the spread of evil in this world. In one single night, I destroyed the lives of friends, families, and even strangers. I attacked the people who were like a second family to me." He added, "I took the life of an innocent 13-year-old boy in the most heinous and cowardly way possible." His attorneys requested Johnson be sentenced to 40 years in prison, but Circuit Judge Cheryl Cacuzzo says, "I do not think rehabilitation is likely." I'm going to go with the judge. Thoughts?
32 times you stab a person in the neck and then 12 more of the other person? I mean,
because I understand that you're, you watched ISIS videos on YouTube?
I'd stop, 16, 17. That's just, there's a lot of rage there. There's a lot of emotion that is being taken out. And that is not something that, even if you can recuperate or find yourself or have a different mindset, I mean, sadly, you just got to deal with the actions that you took. And yes, everyone deserves a second chance, but you took...
No,
you. I apologize. I'm gonna hope the best for you, but we're gonna come down with the strong iron fist of the law, and there's no community service or probation that would be able to overcome what you did.
I think it's one of those things where I'm sorry, we offer far too many continues instead of just saying game over. It's like, would you like to maybe you can continue at some point and. No, I'm sorry. You did enough damage to other human beings. There's no continuing for you. It is the game. It's over. You ended it that way. Sorry. I don't really care how, what, why, or what influenced you or which way you did it. But you did it. And now you are no longer good to live amongst anyone, anywhere. So I don't know. It's lovely that he realizes how horrible it was. But... sorry,
I think
kids.
This is just a reminder for all involved that is as great as our innocent until proven guilty. Everybody deserves a second chance. Law judge and jury and court society that we have here in the United States of America. We highlight situations where you would like to think it's more of a dictatorship where you did this. You are screwed for the rest of eternity.
Yeah.
But there's always plea deals. There's always lesser charges. It's very hard to pick and choose situations where somebody does commit an act, but it has ulterior motives or, they were taking the life of somebody who took the life of their child. And there's actually reasoning of why they would do something so heinous. We'd like to lessen the prison sentence in those cases. And then on the flip side, there's situations here where something or someone may get a lesser sentence, but really there's no reason that they should get anything less than what they did and why they did it.
Yeah.
Here's the sentence, and there's going to be no changing to it.
Yeah. It's scary, when you're a kid and you're at a... Have you ever had a situation when you're a kid and you're at like a sleepover or something?
I was stabbed in the neck 32 times.
I got an interesting story. I've had it where...
You're stabbed?
Close to. Where there's the one kid, and there's something off. You don't know what it is, but there's something that's not quite right. And there's no treatment going on. And you're just kind of like, yeah, that one's kind of a loose cannon. And I remember
Were
being...
Were you referencing yourself as a...
No, I was... I remember being at a sleepover... And I was playing my friend's Game Gear, and we were all going to have a sleepover in the RV that was in their driveway or the next to their house or something. And there was that one kind of weird kid that was just, he was like, you know, overly aggressive for absolutely no reason. I didn't really know him. He was like a friend of my friend, but we didn't go to school, so I didn't know him at all. And I think he was like jealous of me or something. And I remember playing the Game Gear, and then he was jealous that I was doing that. And I left the camper. I went down. He pushes me out the door, grabs a shovel, like garden shovel, like those, you know, the big, you know, metal, could fucking kill you if you wanted to with someone shovel. And he's standing up on the steps of this camper. I'll never forget it. And I remember seeing him, and I'm on the ground because I was pushed, and I look up and I see this fucking shovel, and he's about to like jab it down on me. And I roll away and it goes right into the fucking ground. And I flip the fuck out, and I'm like, this kid has to leave. Like this, or I'm going to go home. I don't remember what, I don't know if I went home or if he got kicked out. I think he got kicked out. But I was like, there's no way in fucking hell I'm going to sleep at this sleepover. Cause I was afraid he could have killed me easily.
You are aware of this person's first and last name?
No, I'm not anymore. I mean, I didn't know. I forgot it back then. But it would be an interesting one to Facebook stalk. Wouldn't that just to go, hey, remember that sleepover when you almost stabbed me with a shovel?
I noticed it was your birthday. Facebook let me know. So yeah. How are you doing? Do you still have that shovel?
How's Leavenworth? Yeah. There's, you know, although I will say this. When I was a kid, I could always kind of like, you know, not that it's rocket science, but there was many kids, and I just pegged like that one's going to be in prison by this age. That one's going to be in prison by that age. And I swear to God, I think I have a pretty good batting average on this. We got to be at like 98% or so, because I've done that, or ones that I did remember names of. And I look it up later and like, yep, they're in prison. And I don't know when I would say that to people like, oh, they're just kids. They're just rambunctious. Like, no, there's something fucking wrong with them and they should get help. Oh, they just got a lot of energy. They'll be in prison by 22 for life. Oh, like, no, they are. I was always like poo-pooed, like, oh, Tony, you're just so overdramatic. No, I'm not. I see things. I understand. I connect dots. And the rest of you don't seem to be able to do that because it's just too scary or hurtful to say that this person might be doing this or that.
Not to be confused with the psychic.
And not psychic at all. No, just connecting dots going, okay, this person's behavior seems to be this way. It doesn't seem to be changing or getting corrected. I know plenty of rambunctious kids that turned out just fine. But I also knew plenty of rambunctious kids that had like a very evil streak in them that, you know, probably had something to do with abuse or something of that nature that you just knew, unless there's some sort of intervention, they're fucked. And unfortunately, they were fucked and they still are. I don't know why. I don't know. It's not hard for me to pick that sort of stuff out. And I don't know why it is for others.
More positive moments and rainbows next.
that's a memory I haven't thought of in years of the shovel incident and the Game Gear. Every time I see a picture of a Game Gear, that's what I think of.
Being trigger,
almost being stabbed by, then I start convulsing. No, but no, it was fucking scary. I think that was one of those, you know, you almost died moments, because that shovel, I will not forget rolling over and seeing that fucking thing in the ground. You know, when you dig and you do boom and you really kind of push it in, it was in the fucking ground. Had it been my neck there, I wouldn't be here.
I'm very thankful this gentleman has bad aim.
It was because I moved and I turned around and saw it just in time. But
and we're confirming that there's no correlation of this gentleman having some early life problems with an erect penis where his future partner later in life would put a straw from inflation foam in it.
You know, it would not surprise me at all. That seems like the type of individual that someday may turn to such devices. Because decision-making is not their forte. But
Well, in any event, I hope that gentleman is enjoying his shovel, and I now want to know who this person is. You could look back in your books or some records of classmates. You can narrow it down and find him.
I don't know that I would. I bet I could if I found a way to reach out to my friend who had the sleepover, but I don't even know where he is anymore. And he had
Did
one of the.
You say this took place in a camper?
It was right outside a camper. He pushed me out the door of the camper.
But the party, the sleepover, was taking place in the camper?
Yeah, it was like, oh, the parents' camper's outside. Let's all sleep out there. That sort of a thing. It was like
in the driveway.
Yeah.
You weren't at a campground.
No, it was just in their driveway.
Where the parents drove the camper and then left the kids by the camper by themselves.
It was next to the pig. They live next to the Piggly Wiggly in town. And it was in the city.
Great ham and rolls, by the way.
Oh, yes. And their brats. Let me tell you about the brats. You got to get the brats.
The show brought to you by your local Greenville Piggly Wiggly. $7.99, 2 dozen ham and rolls, Sundays, excluding holidays.
That was a good special. I enjoyed that one.
Maroon 5 next.
My mom would get the ham and rolls quite a bit on Sundays. And that's where I learned.
96.
So I learned to like mustard on ham. I'm like, ooh, this is good. So there you go. That's reliving traumatic childhood moments today on The Dark Side Of.
Potato rolls excluded.
That's going to wrap up today's episode of The Dark Side Of. If you like the show, check out our Patreon page. Search Dark Side Of or go to darksidepod.com. Get access to all of our episodes in advance. All of it commercial free. Binge away in the archive. It's all there for you. We greatly appreciate that. Also, press subscribe or follow us wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any episodes of the program. Until next time, for Sean, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of The Dark Side Of.